to style. Toll free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. It's 1-800-259-9231. Joining you tonight, it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features, they're completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Lots to talk about tonight, including some breaking news that I guarantee you aren't going to hear anybody anywhere else on the radio dial anywhere across this country tonight, most likely. We're going to get to that here shortly. Of course, it is your calls that the show is about, so we will start by going unscreened to the amp line. Hello, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Dennis in New Hampshire.
Dennis, what's on your mind tonight, sir?
Hey, I just had some great news I wanted to share with everybody in Radio Land. The governor of New Hampshire is promising to sign the same-sex marriage bill.
Yeah, that is good news.
I heard that. Keep telling me that.
He would. I thought he would be scared of not getting elected again or something, but I guess his political calculation is a lot of people have been telling him to please sign it.
Well, that's good news. Now, have you heard anything about the medical marijuana bill? It's another one of the ones that's in front of him up here in New Hampshire.
No, that's all the info I've got, but I think it's very significant that, you know, the governor went to the trouble of putting a little statement up on his personal from the governor's desk website and all that jazz. So this is looking pretty good. The people who are really scared of same-sex people getting married are in a tizzy because they know that the battle is lost, and it's just great.
Dennis, maybe you can answer a question for me. I heard this earlier from someone, and it is good news. And the word I heard is that he wanted some alterations to it that actually sounded kind of libertarian. Do you know what they meant by that?
He had some extra language, as they say, that they wanted to tack onto the end of the bill. That would say that no private organization or church or anything like that could be forced to recognize same-sex couples if it violated their beliefs.
Seems fine to me.
That doesn't seem unreasonable.
That's what I thought that might be what he was talking about, but I was curious.
Well, that's good to know. So it looks like there's a chance that a pro-freedom thing could be happening here in New Hampshire, although, of course, the true pro-freedom position on marriage is to get the government out of it entirely, but I don't think anybody has put forth such a piece of legislation, have they?
I certainly hope that someone will. Maybe one of the conservatives will, having been burned by government this year, they'll put in a good bill next year. That's my hope. And I do have to say, big props go out to a free stater named Ryan Marvin. He has, who's by the way active on the FTL BBS from time to time. He worked very hard to get this legislation through. He did so much talking to quote unquote conservative Republicans, trying to explain to them that he was gay and not a scary guy and a Republican. And
that must have been a shocker for them.
Oh, they knew that they liked him because he was in the gun, so he couldn't be all bad.
Ah.
I know how that whole thing goes, trying to explain that you're not a...
Now, Dennis, just out of curiosity, I've always wondered sort of about this, what would happen if New Hampshire just ceased to give out wedding permits or marriage licenses or whatever it is? I mean, what would happen in other states if you decided to get married by your church in New Hampshire?
Realistically, I think that any bill to say the government is not going to be involved in marriage is so complicated. It's like saying the government's not going to be involved anymore in healthcare. It would be a great thing, but what does it mean for, like, the rest of how things work? It's a giant 10-year process kind of thing, not something that can be done by one bill no matter how striking.
I would think so.
Why not? Why couldn't you just abolish the marriage bureaucracy?
Oh, I'd love to see that. There's going to be then all kinds of questions about, like, how do people, I don't know, draw up these kinds of contracts.
Let the market decide. That's not for the state.
It's more than I can get my little head around.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And we don't really have to because the market will figure all that stuff out. Thanks, Dennis, for the call. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Because once you get the state out of marriage, you don't have to figure out the rest of it.
Yeah.
I think that's it's almost a global thing, or at least a national thing.
What is a national
thing? It would really put people in New Hampshire at some kind of disadvantage while traveling the nation to not be able to prove that they have some kind of government marriage in other states.
I think that, and part of the complication is there are federal implications, you know, until we secede, if that happens. Yeah. There's federal complications because the federal government treats people differently if they're married and, you know, legally by a government and things like that. So I think there's complications like that. That's probably what Dennis is talking about.
Not to mention how many decades of family law piled up behind whatever is the marriage contract up to this point. Then how does the government recognize family law and how it pertains to just religious marriage or, you know, a civil ceremony or something like that that doesn't have anything to do with the government? Is it the same thing? To me, it's not the same thing. And would the government recognize it as the same? And then, you know, how would people feel about that?
Well, I'm curious. I mean, Mark is the only married man in the room here. Have you had to prove that you have a state marriage? How many times, if so?
I don't think I have, no.
So then why is this even an issue?
Just saying that. And it's something you never know. Just because I haven't had to prove it.
Mark hasn't had a really conventional job that most people have for a while now and things like that.
I don't have to put anybody on insurance.
I could see that. You know, if your insurance company maybe might want that, or your job may want it for certain benefits, and they treat people differently depending on if they're married, which is another thing that bothers me. I don't think that if you're working the same amount as someone else, you should get the same benefits as everyone else. Your benefits shouldn't be based on if you're married or if you have kids. You know, you can certainly take a bigger cut from your paycheck to pay for insurance, you know, to cover your wife and kids, you know, but things like that.
Yeah.
I like that the bill went through for one reason. I have said for some time now that I would not get a government marriage even if I could.
Me neither.
And exactly. And so I'm not going to get a government marriage. I wouldn't get one if I were straight. I'm not going to get one once this passes. But I mean, I can see myself married, but not a state marriage.
Sure.
I don't want a state marriage. So I'll jump through a bunch of hoops if I have to avoid going through the
government
thing.
Who would want,
as much as possible?
Who in their right mind would want to get involved in a contract between you, your loved one, and the state?
Somebody who would benefit from that contract.
I forgot what I was getting to. I said the reason I like it though is just because I like the. Hopefully that will make New Hampshire more appealing to more gay people, because I'd love for more gay people to come here. So
yeah, I hope so. I hope it will as well. And it seems like New England is kind of going in that direction. A number of the New England states have gone in a pro-gay marriage / civil union direction. So it seems to be a trend. But Mark, back to what you were saying there, that, you'd want to get involved in that contract if it would benefit you. And I would suggest that that any benefit that you might perceive is nothing more than an illusion or temporary, in that you are the state is basically offering the 30 pieces of silver to say, hey, you could get perks if you sign up with our marriage. But what you don't understand is that you're agreeing to abide by all of their rules that they set. By getting married with the state, you are essentially consenting to have them have dominion over your relationship and whatever comes out of it. In many cases, some would point out that by consenting to a state marriage, you're also giving the state control over your children. Not that that's going to stop. Not that if you don't have a state marriage license that would stop them from stealing your children. But essentially, you're consenting to all kinds of things you don't realize, and you'll just be subject to more state intrusion in your life if you end up going through the divorce process. And I hope you don't. You know, maybe you and your wife will never go through a divorce, and then you'll benefit or whatever for the rest of your lives from having this state marriage. I'm not sure what the benefits could possibly be so great that you would want to get involved in that agreement, but you know,
not sure.
Yeah. 1-800-259-9231, because you'd originally gotten a state marriage because of some sort of insurance benefits which you no longer have.
That's correct.
So Bob, good that did you.
Well, it actually did me good. I got an operation while under those insurance and saved me thousands of dollars. But an operation that I wouldn't have had, so actually it just fixed my nose. Didn't save me anything.
So, and who paid for that?
The insurance company.
From your place of employment?
Yep.
Okay. So they wouldn't
Not
have done that.
Not my place of employment. My wife's place of employment.
And that was the state, wasn't it?
Yes.
I see. So you're total mooching off the state in that case anyway.
It's
right?
An insurance policy.
Right. Okay, but it's a state insurance policy, and as you know, the state gives their the state makes their benefit packages pretty sweet for their bureaucrats.
And people get the government they deserve.
1-800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchews.com.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Smoke-Free free trial offer is. Smoke-Free is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals and cravings and includes a 30-day supply of the Smoke-Free Capsules, a Guide to Living Smoke-Free book, an audio support program, capsule holder, and a bottle of weight loss capsules just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Smoke-Free. Call 1-800-426-6186 today. That's 1-800-426-6186. This is a limited time offer, so call 1-800-426-6186 now.
Have you ever noticed that celebrities are endorsing weight loss products and health aids? Do you think they endorse these products for free? I don't think so. I'm here to tell you, I'm not a celebrity, and Life Change Tea doesn't need one. Think about this. The product speaks for itself. What a concept! Our product works. You get healthy, and you'll lose weight. Summer's coming. Look and feel good. Order now. 928-308-0408. Write this down. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. It's easy. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You have nothing to lose but the excess around your, anyway. Life Change Tea. It speaks for itself. That's GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features, they're completely free, so enjoy those on us, including the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies have taken the time to send us their validated photo. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. Shrine.freetalklive.com. 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line.
Six nights a week, we talk about some pretty serious topics here on Free Talk Live. police brutality, the war on drugs, and economic crisis. But I've got something to cheer you up. Comic books. Witness the uplifting adventures of Minuteman, Liberty Lad, and El Diablo in the pages of Freedom Force. For only $10, you can get 5 action-packed, fun-filled issues, shipping included. Check out a 6-page preview now at comics.thundergodexpress.com. That's comics.thundergodexpress.com. Makes a great gift for kids or grandkids.
All right, so we continue here as we go to your phone calls about whatever's on your mind. We'll talk to Steve in Texas. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I have a huge, huge disagreement with Dale.
Okay, what's that?
And I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep this civil. Okay. Please don't cut me off.
Well, Dale, I
can handle it.
You made a post on the forum that Linux does not have a good video editor.
Okay. I would love to be corrected on that.
And I'm telling you, you couldn't be more wrong. There's a video editor in Linux. It's called Kino. It's such an easy thing to use. It's far superior to any Windows video editing program I've ever used. I've used all of them.
Well, you know what? I'd be glad to be wrong here. I hope I am wrong.
So you have not tried this particular
product?
Have you tried Kino? Have you tried Kino?
I hadn't heard of it before now. I hadn't heard about it before that. So,
Steve, how's your blood pressure?
Simple,
you doing okay
simple.
So far? Steve, you okay?
It's such a simple thing to use. It's just a fantastic video editor. It's simple.
Right.
It's easy.
And
it's very straightforward.
Is it free? Is everything on Linux free?
Of course, it's free. Of course.
I think it has to be, but it's pretty. Typically, most of it is open source and free.
All right, so Steve, go ahead. Pitch us. Why should everybody switch to Linux? Because I still haven't been convinced.
Well, you don't realize that you're trapped in a software world where everything is pay. Everything is, you cannot modify your software. You cannot use it as you please. You cannot give it to your friends. You cannot trade with it. You are locked into Microsoft's proprietary system. In fact, right now, you're probably using a lot of free software. You use Firefox.
I do use Firefox.
I think you mentioned before you have your web server is run by Linux.
It is. Yeah, it is.
You also probably use a Linux-powered web streamer that everybody's hearing this your broadcast from with Linux.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
I'm not telling you that Linux is not valuable.
I think
Linux is quite valuable, especially in the business world, especially behind the scenes on servers and things like that. But as far as getting work done and having maximum compatibility with the things that you're sending out to people, you know, most people use Windows, and so.
I think OpenOffice is
very compatible. It's free. It's easy to get on the internet.
I haven't had any problems using OpenOffice
with OpenOffice.
Yeah. I haven't had any compatibility problems with people using a Word. I've been using OpenOffice. It's been serving all my needs just fine. Now, I don't know if you use certain really odd features of a word processor where you might get into something that would cause an incompatibility problem, but I think for the general needs of most people, you're probably not going to run into a compatibility
problem. Probably true. I did download the OpenOffice a few years ago, and when I installed it, that's what I thought. Well, this would be great for just plain old word processing, but when I opened up one of my products that I send to a program director for promoting the show, some of the things in the document file that I'd created in Microsoft Word just didn't render correctly with OpenOffice, and I didn't feel like going through the trouble of trying to fix that because I didn't know the program at all, and I didn't feel like learning it from scratch. So I switched back.
When did you do that? You said a couple years ago?
Yeah, a couple
OpenOffice
years back.
Has improved tremendously.
I know. That's what they always tell me. And so it's like, okay, well, now you can go and install this other program and see if it works better now when Microsoft Word has been working fine since, 2002.
I have to say, I've had hardware that I have to go through and install some software to get it work on my Windows machine, where on my Linux machine, literally just plug and play. This poink,
absolutely.
And it's working. Didn't have to do that, anything.
That's another advantage.
You know, you think, oh, there's no installation disk for Linux, but it didn't need it.
There's so many advantages to using Linux. Another thing is that security is not even comparable. If you're running a Windows machine, those internet shows on the radio, I constantly hear people calling up, oh, I got Trojans and viruses and spyware.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much a non-issue with Linux. You don't have to run any virus protection. You don't have to run any spyware protection, or you don't have to, you know, when I see these things pop up on the internet about the latest up and down virus, it's a joke to a Linux person because these things are not an issue.
Wait a minute. Come on. They don't have Linux viruses?
I don't believe that. They are. There are some, but it's
so why wouldn't you
want to
run a virus protection on Linux?
It's not needed. There's virtually no
like
virus.
That sounds like to the wind to me. I mean, because if everybody out there is saying that, oh, well, Linux is so safe and, you know, there's no need to run virus protection, well, then why wouldn't somebody write a virus for Linux?
It's
going
to
take advantage
to write. It's already built to be secure.
Linux is structured and set up. Linux is set up to where you have to access the computer to make changes on it, you have to get into it you have to access it as root. And, Windows is just the opposite. And it's made that way so it's an easier operating system for most people to use.
Right.
For somebody to have to log in as
root. Which is why people aren't
going
to switch to Linux, because it's just, you know, there's just too much going on. It's not an easy operating system for people to use. And I remember having trouble doing some of the most basic tasks on Linux. I'm sure it's simple once you know how to do it, but I just didn't feel like going through the process of learning a whole new operating system all over again from scratch when Windows does the job. I've got an antivirus program, so that solves that problem.
That is the reason why Microsoft has dominated the market. When you buy a computer at Best Buy, it comes pre-installed with Windows.
Now, some computers are coming these days with Linux on them.
Larry,
I have seen them.
It'll cost less because you're paying for Windows.
1%.
You're paying for Windows when you buy your machine. And the thing is, I think I look at it a little bit as like an agorism in a way. You're moving away from this market that's heavily interacting with the state, with copyright laws and all this stuff. And Linux is really trying to do as much as possible to work outside of the system. Not in a legal way, but it's doing things. There's things like the open licensing, it's just a way of getting out of that and just trying to something that's really much more of a free market approach.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. And I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
I support,
but you have to want to do it.
Like I said, it's running our server. So I support Linux, and I think it's a fine idea, and I think that it should get better, and I hope it gets easier to use over time. And I've actually had somebody has convinced me to try it again, but I just have so many other things that are more important to do with my time. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity stability and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
Live, it's your show. You can bring up anything. Just dial toll free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line 1-800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. And if you enjoy this program and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Entering Amazon through that link will result in a percentage of your purchase going to benefit Free Talk Live. So go to amazon.freetalklive.com.
Audiblepodcast.com offers over 60,000 downloadable audio books, magazines, radio shows for your iPod or MP3 player. You can try them out for by downloading a free audiobook today at audiblepodcast.com/FTL. They have all the bestsellers and just probably any book you can think of. 60,000 books over there. Use audiblepodcast.com/FTL.
So we were talking about Linux. Other people want to talk about that. It's not just a radio show. It's an internet show. And so the Linux community is very passionate about their product. And you have to admit, I mean, there is no passion. Is there a passionate Windows community out there?
No. Like there's passionate Mac community.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A passionate Linux community, but not a passionate Windows community.
Windows is just complacency?
All marketing.
Yeah.
Windows is just the whole company. There is some innovation, I mean, but I think that's almost after the fact. It's all about how well they've marketed and the deals they've made.
Right, the deals they've made, product placement. There's a lot to do with their system that makes it easy for people. And
I mean, it's already, like you said, it's already on most machines when you buy it.
Even if I download Linux and manage to get it set up on my machine, there's still going to be a learning curve. And I'm not excited about that learning curve, I must say.
Honest to God, I think your learning curve would be no different on Ubuntu It's gotten to the point where it is comparable to Windows in simplicity to use and everything. But you've already done the learning curve on Windows, and that's so Windows got you. They've got that. They've already got a market share that's going to be really hard to compete with.
Because I don't need to speak Scandinavian. I speak English.
That's just it. It's not that it's easier than Ubuntu. It's just that you've already learned it, and so most people aren't going to want to relearn it. And I understand your point of view, and that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, why do it if you're happy with what you've got right now and it's doing everything for you?
And, you know, I was just looking at my list of things to do this week, and I filled my – I have goal sheets that I make every single week with the list of things I need to get done. You know, I'm lucky if I get 30 to 50% of them done on a weekly basis. And this week my sheet is just full of stuff. And I'm thinking, well – I've had these emails sitting in my inbox from Zeus, who is our really talented voice guy, and he's a big, big Linux fan, and he had sent me...
He's just another mindless Linux zealot.
It's very intelligent. I support Linux, not with my money or anything, but I support the idea of Linux.
Yeah, I like the ideas, but...
I like open source.
I like the idea of using this language as an analogy. If there was a language out there that I thought was a really good language for some reason, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be interested in going out and learning it. I just say, hey, that language is great.
To be fair, though, the learning curve is nowhere near comparable to learning a new speaking
that much
spoken language. And one of the things that we mentioned briefly on the break that we missed on the air was that Linux is much less demanding on your operating system, leaving more of your processing power for your applications and other things. So I think, and especially if you have an older machine, sometimes they won't handle Windows, or else they get really, really clunky and slow just from trying to handle that, just from running the operating system and all that stuff that you don't necessarily want or need, and just inefficiency in general. And so you can sometimes maximize your potential from an older machine or something like that.
Like, computers are one of my hobbies, and if I've got the free time, I would love to dig into something like that and begin to learn it. But it's just that I have so many other things I can spend my free time on that I would much rather spend my free time on. So it's really just a question of priorities. But I still feel kind of bad because if everybody talks so much about Linux and Zeus sent me these emails about this Wubi Ubuntu 9.04, which is apparently...
Who names these things?
Apparently, I'm sure it stands for something, W-U-B-I.
Ubuntu is something to do with South African...
Africa, something really.
Yeah, love, I don't know.
So he says that, because I had tried Ubuntu before on my laptop, and I got on there and I finally managed to get it connected to the internet and pulled up Firefox and managed to surf successfully on the Linux that I'd installed on my laptop. And okay, all right, great, I can surf. But it was installed so that every time you turn the laptop on, it would boot into Linux, and half the time I wouldn't need Linux, so I didn't have to change that. Anyway, I ended up wanting to uninstall Linux from the laptop, but because when you're installing a new operating system on top of an existing operating system, because I had it dual booting, basically, to where you could go either into Windows or into Linux, your choice.
I remember.
Whenever you want to undo that, you have to wipe the whole drive. So I had to, at least as far as I could tell, I had to wipe the whole thing out, which is no big deal. I'm used to reinstalling Windows XP when I get tired of its current configuration. So that's what I had to do. And so what Zeus is saying is there is a certain distribution of Linux that allows you to install it like any other program in Windows. And so when I do finally take the time to look back into this Linux thing, that's probably the direction I'm going to go, because if you can install it just like anything else in Windows and then you can boot into it just like Linux, then that means you can uninstall it like any other program in Windows. You don't have to destroy your whole hard drive in order to experiment with this thing.
But the computer runs faster on Linux than it does on Windows, from what I understand, and that could be a huge advantage.
Yeah, it's not using up – the operating system itself is simpler, so it's not using up as much – it's more efficient, so it doesn't use as much as your processing power.
So it's on my list of – like my long-term list of things to do to dabble in experimenting with it again. Let's continue with your call and talk to Steve in South Carolina. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve.
I want to talk about Ubuntu. In 2006, it was Christmas. Windows blew up again. It was XP. I decided to reload it, and I couldn't. So I just went to Ubuntu, loaded it up, and it's GUI, which is really cool because graphic user interface, you just, you know, click and go with your mouse, and I really like that. And Mark Shuttleworth is a billionaire. I think he's flown around the planet twice, and he just got a hold of Linux and said, you know what, I want to make something that everybody would like. So he even has Edubuntu, which he uses for education for schools and stuff. And every 6 months he comes up with an update to the operating system, and he supports it. And you get all your downloads and everything like that, or your updates and stuff. They're on the fly. And I've been using it, and people are talking about with the dual booting thing, but if you look at what's going on now with companies and servers, they can run different operating systems by using a virtual machine, which VMware is free. So you can load Ubuntu, and then you can turn around and load the virtual machine and then load XP on top of that, and it doesn't affect. There's no dual boot. Now, Windows does have its own virtual machine as well. So you can turn around and load Ubuntu, Macintosh, Novell, or whatever else you want to do.
So it's gotten to the point where Linux users can actually run Windows XP through Linux?
I do it all the time. But what's really neat is...
Hold on, Steve. How difficult is it to set that up? Like, how much time does somebody have to invest into getting something like that up and running?
From scratch, a lot easier than XP, because if you load XP and if you decide to load XP with SwitchTrain Service Pack 2, then you've got a lot of time to spend, because as soon as you load that up, you're going to get updates that are going to last for hours to load Service Pack 3 on it. Now, if you got a SwitchTrain Service Pack 3 for an initial load on your computer, then you still got time, because all the patches that have happened since Service Pack 3 came out last year till now. And it's like, my God, this is taking forever.
So how long does it take to get Windows XP working underneath Linux? That's my question.
Within minutes. All you got to do, I mean, yes, because what you do
I swear,
is,
you Linux guys make it sound so easy. I'm going to try this, man, and I'm going to see if I can get it to work. But
this is what we fell for the last time, though.
I mean, we got
a half an hour's conversation in from the Linux zealots, and then, sure enough, it was hard as hell, and you spent all day doing it.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I think when you're doing it all the time, it seems easy to you. And so you think someone else is going to do it.
I'm not incompetent. I mean, I can build a computer from scratch.
You
have no idea what all slipstreaming and all that is. More on the way here.
I just don't trust these people with all their big words.
800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of feeling like you can't keep up with, let alone fight, the never-ending increases in government power? How do we, in one step, eliminate all these abuses and prevent them from returning again? The answer is simple. We must control the money. If it weren't for the Federal Reserve System and the so-called income tax, our government could have never become what it is today. Elite financier Rothschild arrogantly admitted, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." That statement says it all. If others control the money, we cannot limit government growth or power. Under our current monetary system, we are slaves to the financial elite. Take the time to learn how this corrupt system works. Purchase a copy of Dishonest Money today. Learn the system, fight it, and abolish the one scam that funds all the rest. Dishonest Money. Available at Amazon or dishonestmoney.com.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun. So go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and, worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Joining you tonight, it's Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got a lot of features, and they're all free. They include the wiki with over 1,800 pages created by listeners like you. Go to wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com, to get interactive for free. wiki.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, Steve apparently did have a few extra points he wanted to jump in on, so we're going to bring him back. Steve in South Carolina, go ahead with your thoughts, sir.
Thanks, Ian. The thing is that a Linux operating system is so much easier to manage than Windows. Now, I know Mark's talking about, well, I'm used to XP. Well, XP is going to die as a dinosaur, and you're going to have to be introduced to Vista. Vista is being introduced on all laptops and computers now, and Dell will even offer you a downgrade to XP at this time, but it's going to cost you money.
Just because Vista sucks so bad from what I've heard. This is that bad.
And Windows 7, which is coming out after Vista, is just like Vista. And you're like, you know, try to find drivers for Vista for your peripherals. You just, they're not there. And the thing is just that you're going to get a Vista environment compared to an XP environment is totally different. And Mark is going to have a very uncomfortable time going to Vista because everything that he clicked on and it was there is not there. It's
you know what? You're right about that. That might be an ideal time for somebody to make a switch over. A Gardner came in here a couple weeks ago.
I demand the same operating system all the time. I don't understand these people that want to change this crap. I mean, where the hell is Microsoft's headquarters anyway? I'm going to go talk to these people.
Well, what I was going to say is Gardner came in here, and he'd gotten a laptop from Glenn Jacobs. I guess Gardner had a hard drive crash, and so Glenn sent him, an extra laptop he had sitting around because, well, he's Glenn Jacobs, and he probably makes a little bit more money than Gard. And so he sent him this laptop, and it has Windows Vista on it, and Gard was having trouble connecting to the Wi-Fi connection here at the studio. And I was looking at him like, what in the hell is going on with this thing? I mean, I was confused looking at Windows Vista. So you're right. I mean, if you're looking at upgrading from XP, that would be a good time to start looking at the other options, to look at, the Apple operating system. Or I guess you still can't install that regularly on a non-Apple computer, I guess. But look at Linux as an option. I think you're right. I think that would be a perfect time for people to start shopping around. Thank you for that suggestion. Any other ideas?
And Ian, yeah. Here's another thing. I can actually load from a CD. I can load the Linux operating system. I can crack your Windows XP system. I can pull all your data off your hard drive if your operating system decided it wanted to ghost out. You remember the blue screen of death?
Yeah.
Okay, the blue screen of death, XP comes up with it, and it just starts rebooting, rebooting, rebooting. So all your data is sitting on the hard drive. Well, you can boot up with Linux, you can go grab that data, and you can port it off to a USB drive, and then do whatever. You can reformat an XP if you want. The thing is Linux is superior, and it's also free, and it's open source. I can take a Linux operating system, and there's one program called DVD Backup. I can rip any DVD, no matter what encryption it's got on it, with just one command. I can rip it. Now, in Windows, you've got to go through decrypt, DVD shrink, and you have got to go all through these hoops just to rip a DVD. And it's like, this is open source. And these people always tend to make it better and better and improve upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a community-driven thing. And I think it's so much better because you're looking at it like libertarianism. It's community-driven.
It is a good analogy for liberty, for a free market. It's almost like a gray market on software, except that it's not because it's not. There's nothing illegal about it. So,
good points tonight, Steve. Any other thoughts?
Thank you. No, sir. I appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks for calling in. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. He makes a real, you know what, he makes a really persuasive point. Windows XP at this point in the game is, it's almost a decade old operating system.
I'm going to ride that baby until it's dead.
Like an old junker.
I'm angry at I'm angry at him for talking about it, you for chuckling about it, Microsoft for changing it. I hate the idea of changing my operating system.
But that's not, I mean, it's, I think that's,
I really liked, wasn't there one that was like around 2000 or something
Windows,
like that?
Windows to, ME. Windows
not ME, there was something prior to that, second edition, something SE.
Yeah, Windows 98 SE.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
I
wanted
liked
to stick
one
with that
one. That one worked well, it was a good one. The other ones were buggy and weird.
Yeah, I think XP is my favorite of all the Windows.
That one, too. I like XP also.
I think there was a version of Windows. It might be the latest one that's out now, or maybe it's the next one that's coming out. They're finally gutting it and starting like from scratch, building it from the ground up, and addressing some like built-in design flaws in Windows that go way back. Because they've been building upon and trying to patch and add features and things to this old original operating system that was like built on DOS, you know,
yeah,
from way back, and then it's just
go back to DOS, Mark.
I don't want to learn anything new. I did use DOS.
Some of the things that were built into the original Windows design, if you're actually a programmer, we were going and learning some of these things in a special programming class about porting from Windows to other operating systems and things like that. And he was going through some of the things about Windows and all these, like, you know, these programs had been programming in other systems on Unix, which is almost like an industrial version of Linux, mm-hmm. kind of, not really, but it's similar. People have been programming these other systems and things, and we're hearing about Windows and some of it for the first time, and their jaws were on the floor all through the class as they kept hearing some of the design, some of the things about the design in Windows and how it's hard to explain for a layman.
Is it more Byzantine, more complicated?
Well,
is that the idea?
It's what it is from a programmer's point of view. From a programmer's point of view, it's almost backwards from how Linux is for users, or the way you picture Linux. Linux has gotten easier now, but you know, you say there's like a big learning curve for using Linux versus using Windows. Well, it's the opposite if you're programming, because Windows is actually, it's not designed well for something like if you're a programmer and you need, say, a certain amount of memory to perform a task, you would normally, in a logical operating system, ask the operating system to allocate you some memory. And then that way the operating system knows what is what's safe, what's not safe, and things like that. And it gives you back this area of memory and says, okay, this is a nice safe area of memory for you. You are now allowed to use. And you don't have any access to any memory without getting it from the operating system. The operating system is like the referee. It's supposed to keep you from breaking your machine. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Windows, you're just, it just kind of tells you this is where you should go. But that's it. I mean,
Take a risk.
Yeah, it's leaving it up to the programmer to not break.
So it's not offering much of anything then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, in that sense, and this is like a built-in design.
Mark, did you understand
design,
that?
So.
I no.
You're not paying attention.
I am paying attention.
What are you looking at there? What's on that laptop?
I'm looking at Facebook.
I'm going from memory from way back, and I haven't taken this class in years, but that's the gist of it. From what I understand, is that Windows is like Windows. Just you as a programmer, you know, there's guides for how to program and everything, but you're just supposed to know where you're not supposed to write.
I think I'm going to mandate that Mark start using Linux here on his laptop. That way, he can't be surfing around on Facebook when he's supposed to be paying attention to what you're saying, Dale.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
What is he talking about? Give me a recap.
He's saying that that Linux is a easier system from a programming standpoint because Windows is basically a dinosaur built on top of dinosaur.
Okay, all right, you're paying attention. You pass. Let's go to Gene, the Christian anarchist in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Gene.
Hello. I wanted to chime in on open source software myself.
Certainly.
I hate Windows with a passion. I've hung on to Windows 98 as long as I could. I squeezed every last dime out of that Windows 98 operating system. And then I held off just going to XP because I found it to be too big brotherish with all these little pop-up windows telling you what to do all the time, which I don't like. And Vista, from what I've the little bit of experience I've had with it, I'm never going to go to Vista because it's 10 times worse than XP ever was. But I come from a background when computer programs were written in 2 kilobytes of code in machine language, and they would do 10 times the things that a 10-megabyte program would do today. I mean, they're just so wasteful in resources because memory's gotten so cheap that they just write sloppy code and don't bother to ever tighten it up. And it winds up crashing all the time. Now, the open source stuff, one of the reasons I like it, it's tight code. If you look at the size of these open source programs, they're always 10 times smaller than the commercial crap you're going to buy. And you never have to worry about memorizing your codes or writing down your codes so that if you have to reinstall the software a year later and you can't find your paperwork and you can't find your books, you're out of money because you can't reinstall it, and you go to their website to get new information, and they've gone out of business, you know, not just Microsoft, but all these other ones.
You know, it's interesting. Nobody ever calls to defend Windows. Thank you for the call, Gene. Appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. And I have to say, that point about if you're going to upgrade to Windows 7 or Windows Vista, you should take a serious look at Linux and Ubuntu or something like that. I have to say, I'm pretty persuaded by that point.
I like the faster processor thing.
Or coming up, Hour 2 is on the way. Free Talk Live.
AlecEase.com is a community for self-learners. At AlecEase, you'll find tools to help you connect with people learning the same things you're learning, tutor other community members, and to make contacts that can help you find jobs. You can also earn money by sharing your know-how with others and contributing quality content. Visit AlecEase at AlecEase.com. Again, that's AlecEase.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.